you for tuning in today to the online health classes from AnnsHealthPlace.com. And my name is Ann Elliott. Today on Ann's Health Class, our class is called Health for Us Humans. And in this class, we're going to talk about some practical health for us humans, help for health problems that we might already be facing, and how to get well. We're going to talk about what 5 simple steps we can take whenever we get sick, and how diet, stress, exercise, supplements, all of these things can play a vital role. And we're also going to discuss what God's Word says about healing and whether God heals today. Now, once again, I have my friend Kathy with me today. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, Ann. I am wonderful. I can't believe it's almost over either. How sad.
I know. Oh. We've had so much fun.
We have. I wanted to share with you, though, real quickly, that I received a wonderful book in the mail, A More Excellent Way to Be in Health, thanks to you. Thank you so much. And I dived into it right away because, you know, Allison has been suffering from acne for several years. And it talked about in there about adolescence and how the spiritual root of acne is fear, like fear of rejection, fear of man. And so I've been contemplating that this week. And then I pick up your handout today, and the very first thing it says is fear. It's like, oh, yes. I love how God works, how he just ties everything together and how he just, you know, he just brings and he reveals in so many different ways. And so I'm really excited, Anne, to hear from God today.
Well, how he ties it all together has been the theme of this week. It's just been amazing, and I can't even begin. I'd have to be on air today for hours and hours to tell everyone everything that has happened, but I think
so
that
good.
God has taught me, really wants to share with our listeners today, and I hope that there'll be somebody out there listening that, if nothing else, if you get nothing else today, that you would just be drawn closer to God. And now, before we begin today, I need to at least remind our listeners that for the health conditions we're going to discuss today, you need to prayerfully consider the advice of your qualified health care provider. The advice in our class today is not intended as a substitute for competent counsel, and care by a professional may be necessary to meet your unique needs. Now, I had to make that important clarification, but honestly, I'd like to start today's class the same way we've started the others, by digging into what God's Word has to say. Kathy, do you remember the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal in the Old Testament?
Oh, yes, I do. I have been loving being in the Old Testament, yes, this last couple of years, actually. So,
well,
yes,
I remember.
Thinking,
where am I going?
He got himself in lots of trouble. I mean, he was on the run after, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sure, well, it's in 1 Kings 18 for anyone that wants to look it up. And you could read the story of how Elijah set up a contest between himself and 450 prophets of Baal. Now, Baal was a false god, but God's people were worshiping him instead of Yahweh, the one true God. And in this contest, Elijah sets up 2 bulls, and they're cut into pieces, and they're set on altars, but they're not set on fire. And the contest was, Elijah and the prophets of Baal were to call on their gods, and the god who answered by sending fire down on his altar, he would be recognized as the true god. So the 450 prophets of Baal, they went first, and they're calling on the name of their God until noon, and they're dancing and they're shouting, and Elijah begins to make fun of them, and he's going, shout louder, maybe he's deep in thought, or maybe he's busy, maybe he's traveling, and maybe he's sleeping and needs to be woken up. Yeah, I love it. It's just so funny. And the prophets, they become frenzied, and they start cutting themselves to get their God to answer. And by mid-afternoon, they finally give up. So then Elijah comes out, and he digs trenches around his altar, and he douses everything with huge amounts of water so that it can't even catch on fire. It'd be impossible. And then he simply steps forward, no dancing and prancing, and he prays. And he says, answer me, O God, so that these people will know that you are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Of course, immediately, fire from God in heaven falls down and burns up the sacrifice and the wood and the stones, the dirt, the water, everything was burned up. I love it. It's
How
such
great
a sense
is our
of
God.
Humor. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the Israelites seize the prophets of Baal and they kill them all. So finally, Elijah, he's been predicting that God would send rain to Israel because it hasn't rained there for 3 years because of God's judgment. And before the storm gets there, after doing all this all day, Elijah tucks his cloak into his belt, and by God's supernatural power, he runs faster than King Ahab's chariot and beats him back to the palace. I mean, so obviously, like, superhuman strength.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I want to pick up the story for today, it's at this moment of amazing power that Elijah, his body just gives up. He is literally exhausted, and understandably so. He's been under immense mental pressure and then physical pressure, and wicked Queen Jezebel sends him a messenger and says, I'm going to kill you, just like you killed the 450 prophets of Baal. This time tomorrow, you're a dead man. Now, poor Elijah. He had just seen God's amazing power in his life, but he was exhausted. Again, understandably so. And the strain was starting to show in his body, and he was getting sick. And in his exhaustion, he reacted the same way that we do oftentimes when we get sick. I know I am tempted to do this. And this, for everyone watching on a handout, you see the on the top of your handout, it says the normal human reactions to sickness. And the first thing he did, he was terrified. And fear is often our first response when we get sick. And it's only human, but God's word repeatedly says, fear not. And secondly, he ran for his life. And this is another typical response when we get news that maybe you just find out, you get a phone call from the doctor, you have a deadly disease. Or maybe you just are coming down with a cold, but you don't have time for it in your schedule this week. So we deny it. We run. We say, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. And third, Elijah left his servant behind, and he went on alone. And how many times when we don't feel well do we think, if I could just get away from all these people, the kids in this house, and stay home from church and be by myself, I know I'd feel better. And it's at this point that Elijah sits down in utter exhaustion under a tree, and the fatigue is set in, and he's afraid, and he's alone. And fourth, depression sets in. And in the middle of the night, when I don't feel well, that's when fear kind of grips my heart with its ugly little fingers, and I'm all alone, I'm exhausted, depression sets in for me as well. And I feel as if sometimes it would just be better if I could just die. And you ever feel like that, Kathy?
Oh, absolutely. I've been there, yes.
Yes, I've been there.
Yes.
And it's at that point in your life that, you know, you say to yourself, if this is how I'm going to feel the rest of my life, what's the point of living? I just want to make all the pain and the fear go away. And Elijah says, I've had enough, God. I've had enough. And finally, he falls asleep. He dropped down under that tree and he fell asleep. And that is a normal human response. I'm not judging it. I'm just saying that is how we act. We're made of human flesh. And even Elijah, who did all these amazing miracles, the next day, this is how he reacted. And it was just normal. But God has a prescription for us when we're exhausted, when we have a sickness, when we are fatigued. And it's just amazing to see what God's prescription is and how he came in and dealt with Elijah so kindly. I'm just going to give you in a nutshell what the five steps are that God does to get us back on track, and then we'll go through them slowly. First of all, rest. Second of all, he monitored Elijah's condition, and Elijah got to give a firsthand report to God about what was wrong. And three, we should pray and get into God's presence. And fourth, we should research and find out what God has to say about what's going on. In fact, the Bible says in John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And number five, then we intervene and we take steps, action steps, to fix the situation. So we're going to go through these steps today, one by one. I want to just compare them real quick to that human response. Instead of fear and running away and being alone and having depression, maybe thoughts of suicide and just wanting to sleep our life away, all of those are responses that avoid the situation. They give the responsibility to someone else and say, you fix it. I can't deal with this. But rather, God says, you know what? I'm going to go with you into this situation, and I'm going to help you face your fear, and I'm going to help you conquer it, because my Spirit is going to go with you, and he's going to guide you into all truth. So on your handout on page one, number one, the first step we should take when we're sick is rest. We see, and if you were to later go into 1 Kings and read the story of Elijah, you would see that God gave him sleep and nourishment, and he brought him a meal. It says the angel of the Lord, which most people recognize as a is God incarnate, Jesus Christ coming and brought him a meal. He brought him something to drink, and he tucked him into bed. He said,
wow.
Okay, time for a nap. And I think that is just the coolest thing. And that's the first thing that God did for Elijah. And it's really a good thing for us to keep in mind when we're getting sick. The first thing maybe you need is just a little TLC. I want to review real quick back from our first few weeks of class. We talked about toxemia and enzymes. And toxemia is anything in our blood that doesn't belong there. It's a toxin or a poison. And we talked about how it's the cause of 95% of all disease. And toxemia is often related to diet. We've talked about that for weeks and weeks now. It also is related to stress or to sin in our life, such as gluttony or anger or fear. And I heard a statistic just recently, the Mayo Clinic, which happens to be close to where I live, they report that 80 to 85% of all of the caseload in their clinics is the result of mental stress. And so we have spent many weeks discussing diet, and I don't want to say that diet is not important, but I want to emphasize, especially today, how much our mental attitude plays a part when we're sick. And the other thing we've really spent a lot of time talking about on our classes is that God created enzymes in our food. He provides our food, no matter what food it is that he created, he provided it for our healing. Enzymes play a vital role in preventing disease, but they also play a vital role in healing us of disease. I think about God's mercy. He knew before creation, he knew before the foundations of the earth that Adam and Eve would sin and that they would bring a curse upon themselves, and that curse, which we've decided was they ate junk food, right? But that curse brought death upon themselves, and before that, God's mercy had provided a cure. And I just think that is amazing, that God is such a merciful God. We're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about that. But anyway, for Elijah, a good first response for him when he was not feeling well was to sleep and eat nourishing foods. And I have on your handout one of my favorite nourishing foods when I don't feel well, and I call it Get Well Soup. I've modified this from several different recipes, but most influenced by a recipe invented by Henry Beeler. He's a doctor. I love his books, and I have several of them. And I've been making this at my house for several years now. Whenever I need some extra energy, it's so easy to make. Maybe I'm starting to get sick, I have a little bit of a sore throat, or maybe I have something more serious going on, or maybe I'm recovering from childbirth. It's got lots of zucchini in it, and zucchini has sodium that nourishes our adrenal glands, and they are then able to help us digest our food. And we've talked about how digesting our food is so important. And it has a lot of other vegetables that restore a proper balance to the blood. And so it's very scientific, this soup, but it tastes good, and it's so easy. And my general rule, because I don't like to be without it, is that I usually have a couple Ziploc bags stuck in my freezer with the zucchini and some beans and carrots and potatoes and whatever tastes good thrown in them, and another mason jar full of chicken stock. And when I'm not feeling well, it takes no time at all to just pull it out of the freezer, stick it on the stove, and I have that. And it's amazing how much better this simple little soup would make me feel. But it's also easy enough that I can take it to someone in my church that's not feeling well, or my kids could even pull it off and make it if I really didn't feel well. So it's something simple I can plan ahead for whenever, you know, I know I'm going to have some time that's coming. On page 2, though, we're going to talk for just a minute about the immune system. And what maybe God had in mind here is he was tucking Elijah in and putting him down for a good nap. And let's talk about the immune system. This we haven't discussed too much, but the immune system starts in our bones, in our bone marrow. And inside our bone marrow, there are, I don't know how else to describe it because it's a very complex system, but it's like a little factory, a military factory. And in this military factory are all these different squadrons of planes and fighter, you know, squadrons, and you've got your foot soldiers and all different kinds of things. And in these factories in your bone marrow, everything you need for your immune system is being made. And so for your immune system to work properly, you need good, healthy bones. And I want to read a verse for you. It's right on the top of your handout, and it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Isn't that cool, Kathy?
Absolutely.
It is so neat. God is our creator, and he created our bones with his factories inside, and the immune system begins there. But the immune system, the bone response, is controlled way up in your brain by your hypothalamus gland. And in your hypothalamus gland are where you have reactions to fear, reactions to fear that maybe comes out and is expressed in anger, maybe frustration, and we take it out on others, and also guilt over the past and fear over what might happen because of a bad decision in the past. So fear, anger, and guilt, all of those affect the hypothalamus, which then sends out messages to our immune system and actually dries up the bone marrow and starts this horrible process where our military defense system of our body cannot react as it should. And the Bible says it quite simply, the broken spirit dries the bones. And I think that is just amazing to see that God had that right in his word for us. What are some things you can do to build your immune system? According to God's word, I'm just going to stick right with what it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And that's the opposite of the human response to react in fear and to run and to be depressed. It takes a supernatural power to react with a merry heart when we are afraid. Maybe we get that phone call that says, I'm sorry, but the test results show that you have cancer. And boy, it would take a superhuman response to respond with a merry heart at that moment. But we all know that someday we're going to get a phone call about something. There will be bad news that comes and hits us. And I want to encourage everyone today to be proactive. Study today. Be prepared with verses that tell you how to react with a merry heart. Now, you can do that. I have on your handout a devotional that if you'll dig into this, you'll be so equipped. These are some of my personal favorite verses that are taken out of my journal, but I would recommend that you also maybe dig out a concordance and do a word study on what does the Bible say about joy? What does the Bible say about bones? So that's a really fun one. I just looked real quick last night and found all kinds of neat things. What does the Bible say about being merry? And that would be in the King James Version. What does it say about rejoicing? Those are some studies that you can do to make it more personal. But even if you just start with this handout, there's a lot of meat here. And, you know, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3 that his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. So we need to be prepared. Elijah, of course, knew God intimately, and he was prepared. And God came and dealt with his physical needs by tucking him in and giving him food. But we also need to be prepared mentally with how am I going to react? How am I going to have a merry heart at the very time that the rest of the world would react with depression and thoughts of suicide? So these are some things that we can do now before we get sick. One thing when I get sick is just to head to bed. Maybe I've had my bowl of soup, piece of good bread, some nourishing drinks, but I head to bed. I tuck myself in with some music that maybe is some praise music that focuses my mind on what Christ has done for me. I go in with my Bible, and maybe I don't feel well and I can't think through all this, but God will bring one verse into my mind that I've studied ahead, and you can just say it over and over and over as you drift off to sleep, and it's amazing. And as you sleep, your bones have been built up, your immune system is strong, fear has been banished, and you're on the first step to getting over this.
Wow.
Okay, on page 3, we come to step 2. And the next thing that Elijah did is he took 40 days to travel. Now, after he's been rested up a little bit, he now takes his time. It's quite a distance. He goes down to Mount Horeb. But he takes 40 days to travel. And during that time, he has a conversation repeatedly with God. And he says, God, I am the only prophet left, and they are coming now to kill me. And so God allows Elijah to monitor his situation, to evaluate what's going on in his life, and to report it to him. You know, he's reporting it to God, his own master, and saying, God, this is the situation as I see it. And so I have a step number 2. Let's monitor your situation. What's going on? Now it's time to get out your paper and your pencil. And I think you should allow some time for this. God allowed 40 days for Elijah to travel. 40 days is a popular number in the Bible, and I think it's a good rule of thumb. For women, 40 days will allow you to go through usually an entire cycle, and you can see how you're feeling. 40 days for anyone allows you time to put your emotions aside and be objective and say, okay, this is what's going on. These are the symptoms that I have. And maybe later I'm going to need to go see a doctor, and I need to not have emotions when I go in there. I need to have a list. And on that list, it's going to say, these are my symptoms. This is how I'm feeling. And you can be honest with them. 40 days allows you time to get lab work done. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it's such a wise idea to take a look at your blood and see what's going on. And there are other lab tests as well, not just blood, but other tests that are very good. Okay, let's get a realistic picture of what's going on. Let's report on it. I want to talk about lab work for just a second. Lab work comes back in a normal range oftentimes, but a normal range, I think we'd mentioned this before, is basically what is the average for that particular laboratory. So if a lot of people in your area have a certain disorder, your normal range might not be an optimal range for you. It might just be an average of all the people that live in your community. Maybe everyone has high cholesterol, and so the cholesterol levels are changing. Now they say, this is the new normal. Well, is that really what's optimal? Well, what I'm getting to is when the doctor calls you back after you've had some lab work, and the nurse calls you and says, everything's fine, you're normal. And you go, well, that's funny. I don't feel normal. I feel awful. How can they say I'm normal? Must be in my head. That's a common reaction. And my answer is, get copies of all your lab work. Get it in your hands so that you can see what they are saying is normal. And you can say, no, maybe I'm on the low end of normal. They said I'm normal, but maybe that's not optimal for me. The moral of the story is, you own that lab work. It was your blood, and you need to have an actual copy of every bit of work that's been done on you, because maybe you'll see something 2-3 years later. Maybe you just can't see it right now, but if you have that paperwork in front of you, you can see it later. So anyway, this next step, you're going to be monitoring, you're going to be observing what's going on in your body, you're going to be writing it down. And I have on our class website, in your homework, a symptom diary. It's very generic because I don't know what conditions my listeners might be dealing with today. It might be something totally different from me. So I tried to make it as generic as possible, but some of the most basic things that you might want to record would be maybe your body temperatures, maybe your pulse, maybe your blood pressure. There's a spot for you to write down symptoms that you have. Maybe you always get a headache at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or maybe you can't sleep, and every night at 4 a.m. you wake up. And you want to write that down. And basically the point of this whole thing is you want to report to God and say, God, I'm the only prophet left. Or, God, I always get a headache. and you want to be able to write all this down. Kathy, I have to tell you, I've given this advice to a lot of people, and hardly anyone does it.
No, and I'm guilty of that. I love how personal you made it, though, to report it to God. I mean, that just... Oh, I just love that.
How you put it.
And he is that personal to us. And so he does want to show us. And so I love that. And so I'm glad you're holding me accountable.
Well, you know, I think a lot of the time we're afraid to write it down. We're afraid of what we might see if we actually did this. Or it's that old procrastination comes in. And procrastination is really just a sign of fear. What are we afraid of? Honestly, let's just be as honest as we can and allow God to use it. So I really encourage people, if the steps break down, this is almost always where it breaks down, is people just don't monitor what's going on. And then we base everything on our emotions and how we feel this day. And that can change so fast.
I was saying we need to be careful. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was saying we need to be careful that we don't listen to the lie that, oh, it's just a little thing, it's no big deal. I'm guilty of it for not writing it down, but I'm sure that in doing that, I imagine there's patterns that will develop.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially
over 40 days. You can see things so much more clearly. It's really amazing what comes out. And, yes, I do believe we are lied to. We lie to ourselves, and Satan is trying to also kill, steal, and destroy, as we've been discussing. Absolutely. In the middle of page 3, you have the next step, and that is prayer. Now, it says in Psalm 46:10, to be still and know that I am God. Prayer. What is prayer? You know, we have a conception in our mind that prayer is just a list of requests that we bring to God and say, God, I need this, 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 and this. But I want to propose today that that is not at all what Elijah did when he arrived at Mount Horeb and God displayed his amazing presence to him. I want to define prayer as being in God's presence. It says in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. See that joy in there? And the fullness of an immune system.
Oh,
and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And where is the source of our joy? Nowhere but in God's presence himself. Yeah. That's what the definition of prayer is.
Mm.
Prayer is seeing life from God's perspective and then being still and accepting it as he has it. God brought a test to Elijah. He brought several things, like a multiple choice, and says, okay, Elijah, there's four things here. I want you to tell me which one is my presence. He brought a tornado, he brought an earthquake, he brought a fire, and he brought a still, small voice. And we all know the answer. It was the still, small voice that was truly God's presence. And that is what we get when we stop in prayer, and we just take a moment to align our thinking with God's thinking in his presence. Now, prayer, I have three P's to tell you what prayer is. First of all, it's getting the right perspective. Perspective meaning God says his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And we have to agree with God or we can disagree with God. We can say, God, I'm going to allow you to be the ruler of my life and be sovereign, or I'm going to take charge and do it my way. And I think the first step when we waltz into God's presence, we waltz in like a hurricane, but God says, no, be still. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and I want you to change your thinking. I want you to turn what you're doing, and I want you to turn the opposite direction and go my way. And sometimes we call that word confession. You might want to write that on your handout. And, Kathy, I asked you before class if you would be willing to read from the book of James for us.
Hmm.
Would you be willing to read James 5:13-20?
Okay.
And as you're, we'll listen for how this in this story the people align themselves with God's perspective.
Okay. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, or my sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring you back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from the death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Isn't that neat? Prayer is turning our perspective. It's confessing. And confessing is simply changing our mind, saying, I'm walking this direction, and it's off the edge of a cliff. I need to do it God's way, and I need to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get in his presence, that's the first thing we need to do. We need to stop and say, what am I doing? You know, how are my thoughts different from God's thoughts, and how can I change my mind? And God says very clearly in that passage, that's the first step to healing. The second P for prayer is praise. And would you flip back to James 1, verse 2 for me and read that?
Okay. James 1, second here, I got a bookmark that's stopping the way. Okay, James 1, verse 2. Okay, consider it pure joy, my brothers, or sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds.
All right, so we're looking for joy. Again, you see that word joy? It's popping up everywhere today. We need to have that merry heart. Praising God in the middle of a difficult situation is not easy to do, but that is what God asks us to do when we go into his presence. That's a good sign that our perspective has changed. When we are able to praise him, you know, Job said in the middle of all his trouble, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that is our, to be our response as well, that no matter what God is doing, we are saying to him that we are putting ourselves in his very capable hands. And the third P is finally the one that we were waiting for, and that is petition, where we can ask him for something. And would you read James 1:5?
If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him.
That's a promise, isn't it?
I did a study on that once about when it says, I will, and it's like, what he says he'll do, he does. I will.
Amen. And I know in my life, when I have actually followed through on these steps, it's almost immediate that God just answers my prayer, and then I sit back and go, what? He answered my prayer? I'm surprised. And notice it says that he does not find fault, and he did not find fault with Elijah either.
Oh, he did.
He was so gentle. And it says in Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Can God not figure out what's making you sick? Does he not know where the cancer cells are in your body? Does he not know what's causing your autoimmune disorder or your allergies or your acne? Does he not know how your whole body is held together and how it consists, it says in Colossians? Of course he knows. He knows exactly what the problem is. And he's saying, I'm just waiting for you to align your thinking with my thinking and to ask me, the source of all wisdom, for what to do. Isn't that neat? So it's just a matter of realizing what prayer really is. And this is what Elijah did. Now I'm going to go to page 4. Now Elijah's going to have some time to listen to what God has to say. Elijah, the next thing is he gets some true research. Okay, we're going to research now. This is where we usually want to start. I know if I don't feel well, I want to get on the internet and Google it, and I want to pull all the books off my shelf, and I want to call all my friends, and I want to ask them what they think, and I want to call the doctor and say, doctor, help me. This is where we always want to start. But if we were to start here, we will react in fear. I get a lot of emails from listeners or just anyone and that might be asking a question. And a lot of times they'll start by emailing me a question and they're feeling calm, and I might write them back with an answer, and then the next email comes back and you can see the fear creeping in. And all of a sudden they start feeling really sick. And I want to say, no, don't email me. Don't email me. Don't research. Wait. This is step 4, not step 1. But anyway, true research is getting science from God's perspective. He made science. He is quite capable of knowing what studies are out there on a particular subject. He knows what books are available. He knows where the best doctors are. He knows what herbs, what supplements, what medications, what anything. He knows what the answer is. He is an unbiased source because he's the only true source. And you know what he says to Elijah in this situation? He says, Elijah, I've listened to you for 40 days. You keep saying you're the only prophet left. But in fact, there are 7,000 prophets or people that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And now, Elijah, now you've been presented with truth. Now let's act on it. And now let's make an action plan based on truth. You're 7,001. You're not alone. and I just love it. When God gives us his science, everything falls into place, and you go, wow! Okay? So I have put on your handout some websites that are just simple scientific sources. I have a lot more that I enjoy, and I didn't want to put them there because things, just because I like them, doesn't mean they would suit someone else's personality, but these are a great place to start. But I have a reminder under there. As you're searching, remember, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You need to be careful that you don't allow fear to creep right back in again. I have a lot of information on that page, and we're going to just skip right over it and allow most of this to be read on your own time. But remember that your situation is unique. No author out there, when you email them, no doctor that you consult with is going to know exactly what's going on with you. They can only deal with averages. They can only deal with textbook cases because they're only human. That's only the best that we can expect of another human being. Sometimes we place people up on a pedestal that they just aren't capable of staying on, when in fact we need to be going to God for his wisdom, because he truly does know what's going on. In 2 Chronicles 16:12, we hear about a king of Israel, a good king, a godly king of Israel, who had served God his entire life. His name was Asa. But in the 39th year of his reign, Asa, it says, was afflicted with a disease in his feet. And though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. And he died. And it's just a really good reminder that physicians are wonderful. Well, many of them are kind-hearted people. They truly mean well, but they only have one tiny piece of the puzzle, and they might not even have your piece. And the only person that does have your piece of the puzzle is your Heavenly Father, who knows exactly what's going on. So as you research, as you study, I'm all for it. I'm all for learning. I think we should all take personal responsibility and learn more, but we need to do it with a mind on the fact that only God has the answers, and that he will lead us to the exact source of information that we need for our situation. Okay, finally, we're at step 5. And step 5 is, now we get to do something. We get to intervene. And God provided an action plan for Elijah. And basically what it was is he brought a helper into his life and said, you know what, you're doing everything on your own. You need a helper. Let's not try to be lone ranger all the time. He did the same thing for Moses. He brought 70 helpers into his life. He did the same thing for the 12 apostles when they were overwhelmed, and he brought 7 deacons who were filled with the Holy Spirit and godly men, and he brought them into their lives. And anyway, usually God provides help in the form of another human being. It might just be a sister in Christ at church who wants to come alongside you and help you. It might be a doctor. It might be a husband who can see things that you can't see. It might be parents or siblings. It might be your children. And anyway, God will usually provide help in the form of a human being. And I have on here a ladder of intervention. This is not my doing. I got this from an author. Her name is Shonda Parker. And I think it's just a really good rule of thumb. When we get to this point, and we've done our research, we've monitored our situation, we've spent time in God's presence, we're rested up, we've had a merry heart, and we've banished fear. Now let's talk about intervening. First of all, let's check our diet. Are we eating right? It's the first step of the ladder, and it's the easiest one to check. And oftentimes that fixes the problem, and we're done. Number two, if the diet is good and we're still having trouble, let's see what God has created. What's out there that's just that he made and has not been doctored with or fiddled with, that maybe he could provide help with. When you're choosing a good herbal help, maybe it's a supplement, you need to think about the fact that is what I'm buying, am I spending money for something that is a whole food, or has it been chopped up and so modified that it can't remember the field that it was in? Does it still have its enzyme content? Because we need those enzymes. How is it going to react in my body? Herbs are real substances, and they really do work. And they will have a reaction. We've moved up the ladder a little bit, so it might even have side effects. So you need to have that habit of 40 days of monitoring so that you can continue to monitor what changes come about in case you have a bad side effect. Am I going to be keeping track of my symptoms so that I know objectively that I'm spending my money on something that is actually helping? And finally, am I allowing some time? It takes time to heal. You shouldn't expect a magic bullet to fix us overnight. But maybe we have allowed time, and diet and herbs are still not doing the trick. Maybe we do need to consider medicine. Most of us jump right to medicine. That's the first step we go to, and we skip the other two. But there are some times that we need to consider that there might be a medication out there that could help us. I don't think we should start there. I think we should wait. But that's my opinion. But we need to find out, when we do take a medication, what are the side effects? I recommend that you read the entire package insert, and you need to be, again, well-informed. You need to be researching and seeing truth and not just a commercial on TV that in 30 seconds tells you what is just a fraction of what is really happening. And you can always read package inserts by going online. They're always available for free, and your doctor or pharmacist will give them to you as well. They should. You need to ask yourself, medications always have side effects, always do. And you need to ask yourself, why are the side effects there? I need to be prepared, but why are they there? If you ask yourself that why question, maybe you will be able to prevent the side effects from happening for you. And then you need to ask yourself, do the risks that are involved in taking this medication outweigh the benefits? That's an important question. And maybe you should have a second opinion. And maybe this isn't even the correct dosage. So you see how much responsibility you have to take personally if you really want to get help for medication. It's not just call the doctor and make them responsible for everything while you're sitting back quivering hoping it works. You actually have to be responsible on this. Finally, for some, it's a life or death situation, and you hop right to surgery or to other incredibly major interventions. But I would encourage all of you to think about the fact that maybe you don't need surgery until you first tried diet and some of these simpler things. It's just a wise thing to move up the ladder slowly. One of my readers asked me a question this week, how do you find a good doctor? So I thought I'd stick this on the handout because that was such a good question. First of all, you can find a good doctor very simply by keeping in mind one thing. You are responsible personally for your own decisions. Your doctor is not responsible for your actions. You are. God says that you alone will stand and give account to him one day, not your doctor. You are. So that is how you find a good doctor. Keep in mind that it is your responsibility. The medical profession is just there as a consultant to you. You've hired them. And if you forget that and they make a decision and you really didn't have peace about it, you didn't spend time in prayer about it, well, guess who's going to pay for it? Not the doctor. It's going to be you. So, you know, just like we tell our kids, you need to be personally responsible for your actions, we also as adults need to be personally responsible for our actions and not lay that responsibility on another human being who really shouldn't be responsible for our actions. So, anyway, in my opinion, that's how you find a good doctor. It really doesn't matter who it is as long as you are acting responsibly and remembering that you are accountable to God for what you do. Well, I went very fast. Just as a real quick review, our five steps were, first of all, we rest. Second of all, we need to monitor our situation. Third, we need to get in God's presence. We need to pray. Fourth, we need to research based on God's wisdom. Fifth, then we intervene. So those are my five steps. I have received quite a few questions this week. So many questions that I don't even have time to begin answering them all. But I do know that next week we have a two-hour show coming, and I am going to save this pile of questions just to give you an idea of some of what they are. Someone asked, what do I do if I have an urgent case and I don't have a long time to wait and to go through 40 days, you know, or whatever? What do I do if I've got to make a decision today? That's a great question. We're going to talk about that next week. What do I do if my family won't help, if they don't agree with me? How does exercise play a role in this? I just don't have enough energy to exercise. What if I weighed 140 pounds in high school, one lady wrote. She says, in 15 years, I've gained so much weight that now I'm over 300 pounds, and I don't know where to start. That's a question we're going to discuss next week. What do I do if I'm eating things just because I'm emotionally upset? What do I do when my emotions affect what I eat? What do I do about allergies? What do I do about gluten sensitivities? One lady has multiple chemical sensitivities. What do I do about that? So we've got a lot to talk about next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. But, Kathy, I promised you I would answer your question about the gallbladder. You said I've had gallbladder surgery, and my gallbladder has been removed, but I need my gallbladder in order to properly digest my food. So now what do? It's not there. I can't put it back in. And the cool answer is, real briefly for any of my listeners, I know you have this book, Kathy, but there's a book called Eat Fat, Lose Fat. And it has a section on the gallbladder, but Without the gallbladder, you cannot digest fats properly. That's the part of digestion that will be affected. And the authors there recommend some supplements, some herbs. So for you, you can't just fix it with just diet alone because you're missing a body part. So you have to move up to the next step on the ladder, which would be herbs. And it has some specific ones in that book that recommend it, that you can just supplement your food with this specific herb, and it will take care of that problem for you. And if for someone else that maybe they've had a hysterectomy, or maybe they've had tonsils removed, or all of these things, if you've started at the top of the ladder, usually to fix that problem, you have to move up the ladder as well. Does that make sense what I'm saying? You have to, just diet alone probably won't fix the problem if you've had some kind of surgery and a body part has been removed. I hope I'm answering that question.
So how would they, I mean, I do have that book, thanks to you, and I thank you for that. But how would, I haven't gotten very far. I jumped to the coconut oil real quick. And
yeah.
but as far as would those who have a hysterectomy or other things, would they be able to find those answers in that book as well? Or
yes,
just,
they would. Yes, they would. That's a fabulous book. It has a lot of a section specifically on health problems. And I love that book because it gets right to the answers. It's short on theory and long on practical. And that's one of the reasons that I recommend that book this week to all of you. But there are a lot of other books as well. And this is where, for you know, specific situations, you're going to have to research. But again, the more time you spend at the top of that ladder of interventions, and maybe you're going to a doctor on lots and lots of different types of medications, and maybe you've had surgeries and all these other really big gun approach to killing little problems, the more you've done that, the more you're going to have almost a meticulous diet, and then move up to what does God provide in his creation. And I usually go with herbs because it says in his word that herbs were for our healing. And so there are specific ones for specific problems, and it's very easy to find that information in books and on the internet, and just to type it in and see what does it recommend. For the gallbladder, it recommends what they call bitter herbs, and because they promote your glands to make secretions that will compensate for the lack of a gallbladder.
Wow.
And so it's really amazing that God provided all of that, you know, before you ever, it's there, you know, ready. Let's see here. I promised my listeners that we would talk about healing. Does God heal today? On the page 6 of your handout, oh boy, this is a loaded topic. I just want to tell everybody what an answer to prayer we received this week. One of my favorite writers on the topic of healing gave us permission to copy an entire chapter of healing, and at no charge to any of us, allowed me to put it in your homework for this week. So you've got just an amazing resource. And it's in your homework, so even though we're running out of time here, you can go there and see what this man wrote about it. But very quickly, I just want to say, in my opinion from studying, and I have studied this pretty thoroughly over the last few years, because I was diagnosed in 2006 with a pretty severe disease, and I said, you know, I don't want to live like this the rest of my life. At that point, I couldn't hardly get out of bed. And I couldn't cross the street to get my mail out of the mailbox. And I couldn't pour a glass of milk because my arms just didn't have enough strength. And I said, I can't live like this for the rest of my life. And the depression was setting in. And I said, God, is this what it's going to be like? And it was as if he was prompting me to get into his word and to see what his word said. And I have on page 6 of your handout the things that he brought into my mind. And there are a lot more things to consider in this topic. But these are the things that came through my mind. First of all, was I obeying his instructions in his word? You know, he says in Exodus 15:26, I am Yahweh who heals you. And that's famous. It's Jehovah Rapha. And we'll hear that he is the Lord who heals us, but we don't hear the first part of the verse. It says, if you listen carefully, and if you do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. And I had never seen the if that was there at the beginning of that verse. It is a conditional promise. And so that just seeing that led to many months of searching through his word and saying, what commands do I need to obey? And again, that is an aspect of prayer when we have to line our perspective up with his. And second goes into it, am I checking for any unconfessed sin? And it says in 1 Corinthians 11 that many of us are weak, and there are many who are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, or have fallen asleep, have died because of unconfessed sin. Month after month after month goes by, and we harden our hearts, and we say, you know what? Everyone else needs to obey, but not me. I'm exempt. And God says, nope, that's causing you to be sick. Just as fear comes in and breaks up our bone marrow and keeps us from healing, anger, gluttony, all of these sins have a consequence, and we don't like to admit that. But, you know, number three, it really, really comes down to the fact that we are living in a world that is under a curse. And that curse was put there under Adam and Eve when they sinned, and we are still living in that same world. We are under a curse. And if Adam and Eve had never sinned, I would have messed it up because I sin every day. And then my name would have been the one in the Bible, and I'd have been the famous one. But it doesn't matter whether I can blame it on Adam or I blame it on myself. We do live in a fallen world under a curse, and we needed a Savior to come and to shed his blood and to relieve us from that curse. And any healing that we receive must come because of the blood of Jesus that was shed as payment for the curse, payment for our sin, and we have to take personal responsibility. We have to say, God, I admit that I sinned, and this is when I sinned, and I admit that you made a law, and I did not follow it, and I am sorry, and I ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse me. And any healing that we receive must come because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. It says, you know, by his wounds we are healed. Sometimes that doesn't mean we're going to be healed right now. We still live in a curse-filled, fallen world. But when you hear a report of someone that has been miraculously healed, it isn't because some evangelist had a special power. It isn't because someone prayed a special magical formula prayer. It is only because of the blood of Jesus Christ that can ever, ever happen. The Son of Man has to be lifted up in our eyes. We have to look to him. And you know, if we don't realize that, I think of Lazarus, who was raised to life again, but he still died. Years later, he still died again. We are under a curse, but he was also raised. He was also raised. Yes, God is happy to do miracles, but all of it, whether he does or does not, all of it is because of his Son and the blood that was shed. Next, am I double-minded? Do I ask God for wisdom and then turn around and ignore the wisdom God gives me? And finally, sometimes God does say to wait, but I do know that a day is coming when Jesus Christ is going to set up a new earth. And it says in that new earth that there will be a tree that will be for the healing of the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. But that curse has technically been lifted already because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he is many times quite happy to answer our prayers. And there's nothing wrong with praying and saying, God, will you heal me? Why can he not answer? Is there anything too hard for him? Nothing is too hard for him. Where to ask? In fact, the Bible says that we have great joy when we ask. And so I say, ask. Ask him and see how he provides his healing. For some, it may be miraculous and instantaneous, and for others, it may be a process. And yet, all of it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll be quiet, Kathy. What do you want to say?
No, what do I want to say?
Or nothing, it's fine.
No, no, I know that God heals. I've seen it in my daughter's life. I've seen it in Emily's life with her seizures. We're seeing it unfold now, and so that's what's so exciting. And down the road, I'll be able to share more. But she's had seizures since she was two, and she's had them like every 10 days, just very, very like clockwork. And she's gone just recently for 2.5 months without one. Now she's had a few since then, but we have seen such a drastic change in her. And she started believing that God gave her a sound mind, and she would go to him and pray, even though she has a mental disability and she functions at a fourth grade level. So it's, you know, she doesn't necessarily understand all that, but she does believe that God heals, and she does believe in the power of his word. And so we have been watching God move, and it's just been the most amazing thing. And I'm gonna cry. But she she's been able to. She's slowly. They're taking her off of some medication that she's been on for aggression and for depression. And so we are. They have her off of one. We're so blessed to have someone that we're working with that's helping us through this process. But God does heal today. We're witnesses of that. And I know with my fibromyalgia, it's gone. It is gone. I remember the days when you mentioned, Anne, that you couldn't even get to your mailbox. I remember those days. Fibromyalgia did the same thing to me as far as crippling me to the point that I couldn't even begin to push the vacuum or even the simple thing, like you said, to get up and just go a few feet. I couldn't even do that. And I remember those days. And you want to see me now. I mean, you have seen me now.
Yes.
So there is no sign of fibromyalgia in my life. I mean, you know, there's times I overdo it and my body reacts, but I would say that's probably would react in anybody's body, you know, when you overdo it. And so I give God the praise and the highest honor. I mean, He loves us. I can't stress it enough. He loves us. He loves us, and he does heal. And I, there's just so much I can say, Anne. Are you sure this is okay?
I'm sure.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say for me, when I prayed, remember, and I was laying in bed, and honestly, I felt there was that one day that I felt like I could die. And I remember it felt as if God said to me, you know, you're sick. And you could lay there and you could die, or you can get up and you can die. Which one do you want to do? If you're going to die, where you want to lay in bed and die, or do you want to get up and die? And I remember thinking, God, there's so many things I wanted to do for you in this life. There are so many goals that, you know, that I felt that they were from you. And some, I don't want to lay here. and it was as if you said, you know, I can heal you, but you got to get up. And I remember that day. And it's as if he says, you know, trust me, trust me. And yeah, that's my testimony.
Wow, that's just like when Jesus healed in the New Testament times when he was on earth, how he would tell like the paraplegic that was laying down, you know, get up. And then when he did, get up and you're healed. And wow,
my husband has a story of a missionary who is. Diagnosed, this was back in the 1800s, but he had a disease that he hardly had enough strength to get behind a pulpit that one Sunday, but he is a missionary over in, I don't remember if it was China or wherever, but he was in England back reporting, and he was so sick, they had to just basically prop him up in the pulpit, and he pleaded with the people out in the audience to please, my country needs missionaries, and I can't go, I'm too sick. And he pleaded, and no one responded. There was no tears, nothing, just dry eyes staring back at him. And he kind of looked at the audience, and he says, well, if no one else will go, I guess God will have to heal me. And, you know, he went back and served for another 40 years. 40 years he lived that day. And now that's the same idea. God healed. And yet, he didn't feel well, you know. But anyway.
Can I share one of my favorite verses?
Yes, please.
Okay. It's Isaiah 12:3, and it says, therefore with joy, there's your joy, Anne. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in the ESORD, when I look at what salvation means, it talks right there about deliverance, about health, about help. I mean, and salvation, and I mean, it's more than just, I mean, when I first see that, I think of salvation from our sin, but it's, when you look at that word, it means much more than that. And I truly believe we are to draw deep from those wells of salvation, which is healing, which is hope, deliverance from God.
With joy.
Isaiah 12:3 is where it's from, yeah.
I love that, with joy. I saw the joy part this week and said, no way, that's neat.
Yeah.
Well, I have a song that we have been given permission today by the artist, and I'm just tickled pink that we were given permission, but we've never done this in the class, and I know this is going to take us over in our time, but it's okay. If you have to go, that's fine, but if you have a minute to listen to this song, And just in the context of what we've been saying today, that healing, you know, healing is for a purpose. God could take us to heaven. Sometimes I wish he would. And then we wouldn't have all the troubles and the trials of this world. But he could leave us here, and we could do great things for him. And our lives could be committed and completely sold out for him. And any help that he gives us is only a gift to be turned around and laid back at his feet as the crowns are laid at his feet. And so as you listen to this song, I want you to think of that. No matter what health problem you have, it is all for him. It is all for him. And because he's delivered us from the curse of sin, he wants to do great things in our life. This is by Fernando Ortega.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. But give me Jesus.
Kathy, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Absolutely. Oh, precious, precious Heavenly Father. What an absolute joy to be in your presence. That is the cry of our heart. Give me Jesus. Thank you for your love that you lavish on us. Thank you for showing us through Elijah how much you love us and how you pursue us. When we run away, when we hide, when we're alone, you pursue us and you are after us and you care for us. We are so dearly loved. Thank you so much. Thank you that you have all the answers. Thank you that you have everything we need. Thank you that you know us so intimately. Father, you know of each one of us who's listening, who's participating in these classes. You know us so well. You know exactly what we need. Father, like a child, oftentimes we don't, you know, children, when they're tired or not feeling well, they don't know what they need. They just get restless and start crying and get grumpy and all those things. And Father, we run to you. You know what we need, and we just stand in your presence. And we wait quietly before you, trusting you, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that you will supply all our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Oh, give us Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your salvation is complete. Is complete. Our healing is in you. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. We stand before you today. Thank you, Father, that nothing, absolutely nothing is too difficult for you. Thank you. Father, I pray for each one who's listening. I pray for an individual, special revelation to each one, Father, who is asking, who's bowed in your presence at this very moment and are asking for help, for deliverance, for aid, for healing. Father, I pray that each one would know your presence, the joy of being in your presence. And the joy of seeing their Father, their Heavenly Father, at work in their lives. Thank you. Thank you, precious Spirit, that you are within us and that you lead us into all truth. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Word. You have given us the Word. We love it that you have clues all throughout your Word. Who would have ever seen that, Father, about the merry heart, how a broken spirit dries the bone? Thank you for revealing to us what that means today and how important. No wonder you tell us to rejoice in everything. You know that it brings health to us because you love us. And you know it also brings us into your presence. That's where we desire to be. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, all the high esteem. You are worthy, so worthy. Oh, come with us. Thank you for pursuing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being everything to us. We give you all the praise in your precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, that brings us pretty much to the end of our class series. Next week, we'll have a question and answer time. But between now and then, I have to say what I say every week, and that is that you have homework to do. simply visit annshealthplace.com to find today's handouts and a download for you. I've got some really good reading for you to do this week. It's not too much, but it's some really good stuff graciously given to us by people that didn't have to do it, but they just gave it to us free as a way to minister. You'll also find a symptom diary And, of course, you've got the devotional on a merry heart that you need to do that's printed here on your handout. And that would be a great thing to do in your quiet time this week. And that's all for today. Thank you for putting up with the long class. I hope it's been a blessing to you. We have really been praying for you this week. We've been praying that God would richly bless your health and your spiritual life through these classes. I know he's been showing me many things this week, and I'd love to hear how God has been working in your life as well. Please send me those emails. They're such an encouragement. You can send me an email at any time from my website. That's annshealthplace.com. That's Ann with an E, annshealthplace.com. Kathy, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
What a blessing it was for me today. Thank you.
All right. Well, once again, this has been Ann from annshealthplace.com, and we thank you, everyone, for listening.